You know, Mr. Speaker, for once in the House, I feel like a fish out of water. And, Mr. Speaker, whilst life is dynamic and changes are inevitable, one must exercise a certain degree of patience with which those changes are introduced. Be that as it may, Mr. Speaker, I am here, we are here once again in this Honorable House, shouldered with the responsibility of discussing the business of the people, and irrespective of our own personal feelings as to the correctness or incorrectness, the propriety or impropriety of the procedure, we will not walk out, but we will stand here, sit here, and discuss the people's business. Mr. Speaker, let me quote like the member from Grozile did from the throne speech. The Governor General, Mr. Speaker, said to us from the onset, and I quote, "I would have liked to bring you some great news, some glad tidings, which would set your world to right. Alas, this is not the case." And Mr. Speaker, she went on to say, "I refer to this to emphasize that we cannot allow the Helen of the West we proclaim ourselves to become a tragedy like Helen of Troy." Mr. Speaker, I warn that if we continue on the exercise on which we embark today, spending more money than we are making, we would be worse than the Helen of Troy. Mr. Speaker, anytime I receive estimates, one of my first practices, or my first practice rather, is to look at the estimates and to find out how much money we are hoping to generate and how much money we are hoping to spend. And in budgetary language, Mr. Speaker, what is our recurrent revenue and how does it relate to our recurrent expenditure? In that regard, Mr. Speaker, I have said time and time in this Honorable House that no government, and I repeat, and Hansard would support me on that. Let me repeat it to thee. No government should engage in the business of attempting to spend more money than it earns. I am sure, Mr. Speaker, that every Tom, Dick, and Harry knows this basic principle for personal survival. But it appears, Mr. Speaker, the Minister of Finance and the government probably are not knowledgeable as far as this basic philosophy is concerned. Mr. Speaker, to put it in local language, if a man works for $1,000 a month, your salary is $1,000 a month, how on earth are your estimates or your expenses at the end of the month $1,200? Mr. Speaker, you would be heading for the financial gallows. Mr. Speaker, the estimates show a recurrent revenue of $922,135,621, whereas a recurrent expenditure, that is salaries and wages and bills we must meet, exclusive of capital expenditure, of $962,938,100. Mr. Speaker, if my calculations are correct, we have a shortfall of nearing $41 million. Am I correct? Is my math correct? Yes. We have a shortfall of almost $41 million on our recurrent expenditure, Mr. Speaker. And I want to put that in a language that people understand. For us to meet our monthly expenses in this country, for the year, we are short of $41 million as per yesterday. In other words, for us to meet our commitments on a monthly basis, to pay our salaries and our wages, we must borrow in excess of $3 million every month. Laissez plaisir, moi je vais dire ça pour vous autres copains. Nous avons estimé l'argent nous avons fait, et nous avons estimé l'argent nous avons dépassé. Lorsque nous estimons l'argent nous avons fait, nous avons estimé que nous avons dépassé 41 millions de dollars de plus passé nous avons fait. Et ça veut dire, ça fait juste pour payer le salaire, pour payer les bagages nous obligés de payer. Pas pour faire l'école, pas pour faire travail à les highways, ça c'est juste pour payer le salaire. Sur so, tous les mois, le gouvernement fait ici, lui pour prêter 3,4 millions de dollars juste pour payer le salaire. Mr. Speaker, this is frightening. Mr. Speaker, our recurrent expenditure last financial year was $895,382. Our recurrent expenditure alone, Ecclesia Christian, recurrent expenditure say, l'argent ou ka dépassé pour payer salaire et bagay ou obligé pi. Our recurrent expenditure, Mr. Speaker, last financial year was $895 million. It has risen by some $68 million. Mr. Speaker, to $962 million. Now, Mr. Speaker, the question is, what has happened that caused this government to incur an increase of $68 million for the year? $68 million every year has been added to our recurrent expenditure bill. Mr. Speaker, one might argue that there are expenses that are unavoidable. And like I say, Mr. Speaker, time is dynamic, things are changing, social services are on the rise, and every government is under pressure to provide better services for its people. That is accepted. So that, Mr. Speaker, when one tells me that the old people's home, for example, in Blackby, which we constructed, would have to be housed, elderly, I accept the correction. Thank you very much. The home for the elderly, Mr. Speaker, has to be staffed. One understands that. One understands that that invariably would have an impact on our recurrent expenditure bill. But, Mr. Speaker, as the estimates will show, there are many, many unjustified expenses incurred by this government that caused our monthly bills or our recurrent expenditure to skyrocket. Mr. Speaker, I will go through some of the contributory factors. I cannot list all of them. It would mean that I need time, as the lawyers say, ad infinitum to go through this, and I'm limited to 1 hour. Mr. Speaker, when this government was in office, there was a lot of clamoring about certain ministries or certain ministers. Mr. Speaker, loads of clamoring. But if you go right there on the first page, the table of contents, under anyone, recurrent revenue or recurrent expenditure, inclusive of the office of Attorney General and the Prime Minister's office, there are 15. Inclusive, let me repeat that, inclusive of the Attorney General's chambers and the Prime Minister's office, there are 15. More money, more staff. Mr. Speaker, there was a lot of clamoring about the United Workers' Party having a big cabinet. A big cabinet with 13 ministers. Today, Mr. Speaker, and I must explain that the 13 ministers included the Attorney General. That was 13. The general, call it what you want. But whatever I'm saying here, Mr. Speaker, is factual. There were 13 ministers, including the Attorney General. Today, Mr. Speaker, there are 13 ministers, excluding the Attorney General, plus a parliamentary secretary, all of whom, Mr. Speaker, allocations have been made to pay. So who puts pressure on the public purse? 13 ministers, we including an Attorney General, or 13 ministers, excluding an Attorney General, plus a parliamentary secretary? Mr. Speaker, that would add up, in my view, to about 16 ministers. Because if you check it on a salary scale, the Attorney General is clearly outside the scope of the salary of the minister. Mr. Speaker, let's look at the office of the Prime Minister. Mr. Speaker, as far as the last budget, the office of the Prime Minister was never equipped with any permanent secretary, save cabinet secretary. Mr. Speaker, as I check the allocations made to the relevant ministries, to the Prime Minister's office, Mr. Speaker, there is a cabinet secretary who is considered a super PS. A CABSEC is considered a super PS and is the PS of all PSs. That's a given. But in addition to that, Mr. Speaker, well, it's not correct under the Constitution, but colloquially, just like Mr. Speaker, I agree with him, under the Constitution it may not be correct. Just like Mr. Speaker, under the Constitution or the standing orders, you'd never see the term budget address in either one of them. But colloquially, we have referred to a certain address as the budget address. I will move on, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, never before had the office of the Prime Minister had a permanent secretary. Today, according to him, the Prime Minister said, and I quote, "I need someone I can trust." And so, Mr. Speaker, a permanent secretary was engaged in the ministry of the, in the Prime Minister's office. So we have the permanent secretary. Then we have a permanent secretary attached to his office. In his office, Mr. Speaker, there is also a department called Special Initiatives under the Prime Minister's office as well, with another permanent secretary. Mr. Speaker, I speak to the estimates, page 63. If I'm wrong, tell me. Page 63, Mr. Speaker. Office, Head 21, Office of Special Initiatives, Permanent Secretary, 1. Not in post. Mr. Speaker, under 2012-2013, look at the column 2012-2013 and tell me not in post. $117,936. That, Mr. Speaker, a permanent secretary is catered for according to the estimates. I don't know who's there. Mr. Speaker, can I be heard? I need the protection of the chair, Mr. Speaker.
Honourable members, please allow the honourable member for Castries Central to deliver his address.
Mr. Speaker, I am in no position to know what transpires within the walls of government. I am not in a position to know. My contribution is based on the estimates of expenditure furnished to me by the government. So how can you turn around and tell me she's not there or he's not there? I don't know. I am sticking to the estimate. So, Mr. Speaker, you have the Prime Minister. Then you have the Cabinet Secretary in his office. Then you have a Permanent Secretary in his office. Then there's another Permanent Secretary of Special Initiatives in his office. And then you have a Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance, which the Prime Minister has responsibility for. So it is fair to say that the Honourable Prime Minister has 4 permanent secretaries. Now, did that exist before? Are those not the contingencies that bring up our recurrent expenditure? Gentlemen, let's face the reality. Are those contingencies not the very reason why then $68 million added to our recurrent expenditure? You know, Mr. Speaker, Ministry of External Affairs. You know, the Ministry of External Affairs, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in the Ministry of External Affairs, a special advisor getting a salary with his allowances, almost doubling the salary of the minister. You know, if I'm permitted, Mr. Speaker, to digress slightly, anytime I go to library, I always go look for the representative for library, the president of library. Mr. Speaker, we have a fairly good rapport. We socialize. We have a good rapport. And there was a Saturday I went to look for the president of library. And the sad reality, he was out of the island. I didn't know. I called his cell phone. I didn't get him. Then they told me he was out of the island. But one of the guys who was at the bar said to me, "Uvina she alvabad now. I she bossly because one we say bossly." I said, "What?" You know? And I told the member that immediately. No, I don't make stories, my brother. I will never have a press conference on a story. I don't behave like that. But Mr. Speaker, a special advisor in the Ministry of External Affairs, like I said, Mr. Speaker, at a salary, if coupled with his allowance, it would be almost double the salary of the minister. Mr. Speaker, then, in addition to the Cabinet Secretary in the Prime Minister's office, the Permanent Secretary in the Prime Minister's office, the Permanent Secretary in charge of Finance, the Permanent Secretary in charge of Special Initiatives, Mr. Speaker, there is also a director, a policy advisor, and the director of Special Initiatives. In addition to that, Mr. Speaker, one will recall that up to last financial year, the post of Director of Finance and Permanent Secretary, those posts were fused. The legality may be one thing, the financial consequences may be another. But Mr. Speaker, it has financial consequences. In addition to that, again, Mr. Speaker, in the office of the Prime Minister, there is a special advisor on security who makes more money than the Prime Minister. He makes more money than the Prime Minister. He makes more money than the Prime Minister. Special advice on security. Special advice on security. So, Mr. Speaker, you understand, I am not saying that some expenses are not inevitable. If you want to improve the delivery of services to your people, if you want to improve their standard of living, then invariably you might say Victoria Hospital is understaffed. That is why our people wait so long to see a doctor. So let us cut waiting time from 6 hours to 2 hours. One has to understand that. And one would readily side with the attendant expenses that come with that, Mr. Speaker. But when you tell me, in the office of the Prime Minister, TS, CABTEC, Security Advisor, and those do not come without financial consequences, Mr. Speaker. And they come with very big financial consequences. Most of them take home twice of what a minister takes home, Mr. Speaker. And if we call, the Governor General called on all of us to work together and to engage in belt-tightening measures. If this, Mr. Speaker, represents what belt-tightening measures are, I don't know if we didn't tighten our belts, what we would have done. If this, Mr. Speaker, represents proper or prudent financial management, I don't know what would pass for financial imprudence, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, you understand, and I'm hoping St. Lucians understand, why our recurrent expenditure bill has skyrocketed. There are people who are working for $1,000 a month, Mr. Speaker, who have been dismissed. Their yearly pay is inadequate to pay any one of those persons, those advisors. For 1 month, les techniciens, ces petits mounes qui ont trouvé Koyo Fire, Koshamen, Akatri City Council, salaire pour holo l'année, pas assez pour payer ces advisors that nous avons employés en gouvernement actuellement. Is this fair? Is this right? Gentlemen, I speak of those things. I speak of those things. I was not aware. I don't believe in discrimination, as I've said, and I will never believe in discrimination. I will not engage in no jobs for the boys while at the expense of the poor people of this country. No, not Richard Frederick. I will not do it. You know, yes, Mr. Speaker, an entire year's salary of one person is inadequate to pay, according to the estimates, the salary of one of those advisors for a month. You know, Mr. Speaker, the whole world is cutting down. The whole world is cutting down. It's a fact that we're in recession. The sad thing, Mr. Speaker, when the Governor General referred to Greece, I was wondering whether Greece happened the day before yesterday. I was wondering, and I'm sure the member from Beaufort South, who sometimes, Beaufort North, who sometimes to me is a good man, sometimes he deviates from his goodness, if I may say that. But he listened attentively, and I saw him opening his eyes when the Governor General spoke of Greece. Because Greece did not happen yesterday. Greece happened years ago, before we assumed office. All of a sudden, the realities are hitting us in the face. The realities are hitting us in the face, and we begin to backpedal. And rather than embarking upon the delivery of promises, the reality provides us with excuses to feed our people on, whilst we manage their expectations. So, Mr. Speaker, it is a fact that the world is in recession. Things are rough. People are cutting back. Governments are shrinking. Imagine, if I may say, Mr. Speaker, there are a lot of St. Lucians working in St. Croix at Hess. Hess closed down in St. Croix. Most of those St. Lucians will come back here. Hess has put up its assets for acquisition here. That is how tough things are in this country. Not in this country, but in the world. But yet, As a government, Mr. Speaker, we are busy increasing our wage bill because we have to provide jobs for the boys. Mr. Speaker, this is not right. And Mr. Speaker, let me just say, the Honorable Minister of Finance, this is his 11th budget, Mr. Speaker. And 11th. No, 11th. Mr. Speaker, I was involved in the last one and this one, which he has served as Prime Minister and is moving. Mr. Speaker, as Minister of Finance, Mr. Speaker, it is not fair and it is not right for our people. It is not right for our people to be told that the government will be spending more money than we contemplate to make. And in the majority of budgets moved by this Minister of Finance, that has been the key. That his expenditure always, in the majority of cases, exceed revenue. Now, when we begin to do things like that, Mr. Speaker, you know what happens? You know what happens, Mr. Speaker? Borrowing money to pay recurrent expenditure. Now, under the sources, Mr. Speaker, one sees that the source of the fund, the shortfall, is by the issuance of bonds and treasury bills in the sum of $15,800,000 and $25 million, respectively. Now, Mr. Speaker, it is a very, very dangerous practice to issue bonds or bills or borrow money to pay recurrent expenditure. It is very, very dangerous. And as I said, as a government, they have to borrow over $3.4 million every month, just to meet the wage bill. Mr. Speaker, this will lead you into the financial gallows. Mr. Speaker, it is dangerous. Engaging or issuing bonds, Mr. Speaker, or borrowing to pay recurrent expenditure should bring to our minds what happened in St. Kitts. And for those who don't know, Mr. Speaker, the St. Kitts situation ought to be a warning to other small state governments. Mr. Speaker, what happened in St. Kitts? St. Kitts government was issuing bonds to pay recurrent expenditure. And they were warned. They were warned, like we are doing now. They were told, what you have to do is contain or quell, suppress your expenditure. Cut where you need to cut. Don't increase so that there is an increase and you have to issue bonds to pay that increase. And St. Kitts government was warned, if the borrowing, Mr. Speaker, I want to make this clear, if the borrowing is for capital projects and to engage in revenue-generating exercises, bravo. But you don't borrow, not for capital projects, just to pay salaries and wages. And, Mr. Speaker, when the government in St. Kitts was warned, they didn't listen. What happened? They issued bonds, Mr. Speaker. Having issued the bonds, they were unable to pay because there is no excess revenue over expenditure. So, I mean, if you're borrowing to pay your wages, where would you get excess money to pay back those monies? And so, Mr. Speaker, when the maturity date came, the government of St. Kitts and Nevis could not pay. They could not pay. They ran to the IMF, Mr. Speaker. And I'm just sounding that as an alarm bell, Mr. Speaker, because we are issuing bonds to pay recurrent expenditure. When they went to the IMF said, I will help you, but your people and investors must first agree to lose between 75 and 85% on the value of the bonds. This is a fact, Mr. Speaker. So I'm saying this, Mr. Speaker, because we find ourselves in the same position, attempting to raise the shortfall of almost $41 million by the issuance of bonds and treasury bills. In fact, Mr. Speaker, there was an article in the Advocate which I read, and it is very, very instructive, Mr. Speaker. It is instructive about what you should borrow for and what you should refrain from borrowing for. And recurrent expenditure certainly is not on the list. It was written by a guy called Jeffrey Cave out of Barbados, Mr. Speaker. And it's the same thing, Mr. Speaker, that happened to Greece. Greece encountered a meltdown. I am not saying this because I am on this side of the house. I am saying this, Mr. Speaker, because as a matter of financial prudence, you never ever attempt to spend what you don't need. Don't do it at your home. Don't do it as a government. And the record will reflect, Mr. Speaker, I, Richard Frederick, would never have been part of a government who attempted to spend more than they get. Mr. Speaker, all the estimates are here, Mr. Speaker. So, Mr. Speaker, all the estimates are there, and we can go back to the estimates. Mr. Speaker, when I look at the estimates, and I realize, Mr. Speaker, for capital programs that exceed some $400 million, if we don't have excess revenue on our recurrent revenue, it means we are borrowing 100% of the monies we are hoping to spend on our capital program. Mr. Speaker, good financial management, Mr. Speaker, would teach you that if you want to buy a new stove from Cost, ensure that you have disposable income. But if you cannot pay your rent already, why are you going to borrow money to buy a new stove from Cost? And when I referred, Mr. Speaker, when I referred to the number of new positions that the government have created, Mr. Speaker, it is frightening, Mr. Speaker. It is frightening. I mean, things are rough. Things are tough. Businesses are closing down. People are even committing suicide, Mr. Speaker, because their businesses fail. People are committing suicide because their businesses fail. I didn't say in St. Lucia, I said people. You need to listen. I said people. You know, those are things happening around the world, Mr. Speaker, and I am saying some of those allocations could have been cut, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, money would have to be raised. How do we raise money? How do we raise money? That I intend to deal with.
Honourable Member, I've been reluctant to interrupt your presentation, but your presentation so far has been mainly on policy, and I need to guide you so that you can now refer, as the order states, specific points or details of heads of expenditure.
Mr. Speaker, the
warning there that you may not raise any matters of general principle.
Mr. Speaker.
So please, when you are making your address, if you can refer to the specific heads, or at least some reference to those.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I quite understand, and in the main, my entire presentation thus far, in my view, relate to the creation of the relevant posts within the relevant ministries that cause our recurrent revenue bill to be increased by some $68 million, and reference has been made to the relevant posts that have been created within the estimate, even if I didn't go through them page by page. But all of those are contained in the estimates. But I understand, Mr. Speaker, your ruling is taking cognizance of.
And that would be a perfect address for the second part of this.
Yes, Mr. I do know that, Mr. Speaker, and I welcome the second bite at the cherry. Don't believe, Mr. Speaker, let me just if, permit me, please. I never had a problem with that, you know, Mr. Speaker. My problem is that I am asked by this Honorable House to lend a I have the Speaker to just be quiet, please. Mr. Speaker, I never had a problem with that. My problem, and I just give me a minute, let me explain it, was that we are being asked to approve estimate. That is the procedure. And as your letter said, this is the budget debate. Your letter says so. But we are being told that the budget address will come after the budget debate. And that was my difficulty. In other words, Mr. Speaker, we are asked to approve figures in isolation, in abstraction from the policy related to those expenditures. But, Mr. Speaker, if that's how we're adopting it, so be it. But I just needed to explain that, because there is no understanding orders or in the Constitution, it speaks to a budget address. So, Mr. Speaker, I see the reintroduction of PROW and some $2 million allocated to PROW. I don't think there's any contention about PROW and, you know. It's right in the estimate. Mr. Speaker. Okay. PROW is created, Mr. Speaker. And under the Ministry of Physical Development and whatever, Mr. Speaker, $2.2 million. I mean, it's there. Mr. Speaker, let me say this. I have no difficulty with the objective of PROW. PROW means Program for the Rehabilitation of Unplanned Development. I have no difficulty, rationalization, thank you. I have no difficulty with the objective. But again, Mr. Speaker, when you have a Ministry of Housing, and you have a National Housing Corporation equipped with all the technical expertise necessary to discharge the objective of PROUD, why the creation of another layer of bureaucracy? All of whom have to be seen. That is my difficulty, Mr. Speaker. I would like people to get, as the member for Kachisau said, I agree with you. If people could get land at 50 cents on a dollar, I have no difficulty with it, Mr. Speaker. Let us not burden the public purse with another layer of bureaucracy. That is what I am concerned about. Because every member of PROUD has to be paid. We are engaging more personnel, and they put more pressure on the public purse. Mr. Speaker, you now have, it's like saying, Mr. Speaker, you employ a housekeeper. The housekeeper is supposed to be doing everything, mopping the floor, cleaning the windows, cooking, and doing everything else. But quite apart from that, because the money is not yours, you employ somebody just to mop the floor, which essentially falls under the mandate of the housekeeper. And that is my only difficulty with PROUD. Another $2.2 million, Mr. Speaker, in this difficult time, why are we creating another layer of bureaucracy? Mr. Speaker, then we have a new one called NICE. NICE. National Initiative for what? For, hold on, Mr. Speaker. You'll ask me the page, and this time I'll surprise you, I'll get it. Yes. National Initiative for Creating Employment, $35 million. Mr. Speaker, let's not forget that we have institutions like SEP, we have institutions like HOPE, we have institutions like the Constituency Development Program, that are $12 million. We have another one, National Recovery Development Program. One time we had YAP, we no longer have YAP, we have YET, Youth Enterprise Entrepreneurship Program. And today we have NICE. Things not nice, but they bring in nice. Why is it necessary, Mr. Speaker, in the absence of an ulterior motive to create another department with another layer of bureaucracy when you have establishments that are fully equipped. I have no difficulty with the objective. Let me say again. I welcome the objective, but not the creation of another layer of bureaucracy. The mechanism by which they intend to do this, Mr. Speaker, places the public police under more pressure. So the question is, Mr. Speaker, why can't we, between all those institutions I mentioned, SEP, HOPE, Constituency Development Program, National Reconstruction Development Program, Youth Enterprise Program, Ministry of Social Transformation, Ministry of Economic Affairs, why can't they, established departments, already equipped, and to whom salaries are being paid, not be the ones to execute the mandate of NIGHT? You know, I was essentially deliberating, Mr. Speaker, over that NIGHT thing. And I know the only NIGHT thing about NIGHT, it will provide some NIGHT jobs for the NIGHT guys who have been NIGHT to the Solution Labour Party. That is the only NIGHT thing about NIGHT. And that will be very NIGHT. They even have very good. So you understand, Mr. Speaker, the mechanisms that we are using add layers and layers of bureaucracy on the establishment and cause a drastic spiraling of government's financial responsibility, the net effect being our recurrent revenue being less than our expenditure and we having to borrow to pay our recurrent expenditure. Mr. Speaker, I went through the estimates of a fine-tooth comb, and I tried desperately to see whether any allocation had been made for the public servants. But I know once that government is in office, they're accustomed to 001. So I thought, Mr. Speaker, there would have been a significant departure from what is regarded as the modus operandi or the norm. And so I went through the estimate to find a contingency sum set aside representing an intentional increase to the public service, which in my view, in light of the intentions of the government which have been expressed, that in light of the global crisis out there, rising by gas prices, may have been justified. But I see absolutely nothing, and the Minister of Finance can correct me, I see nothing in the estimates indicative of monies allocated for an increase to public servants. So public servants, say either about public service or the Ministry of Finance. Et ma wè, pièce l'argent qui t'a représenté en équipement, increase, en les salaisons pour, en haussement pour les salaisons pour l'autre année. Because this year is the beginning of a new triennium, and there is nothing indicating that the government intends, in fact, not as far as the estimates are concerned, the government intends to spend any more money on the public service. Mr. Speaker, it is interesting that under the Ministry of Local Government, is it local government? Yes. Social Transformation, Local Government. It is interesting, Mr. Speaker, that a measly sum of $427,000 on page 507, a measly sum of $427,000 has been allocated for the rehabilitation of community centers island-wide. 427. Yes.
Honorable member, you have 15 minutes remaining to conclude your contribution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just thought I had a little more than 15, but no problem, Mr. Speaker. Yes.
A measly $427,000 allocated to community centers island-wide. Yes.
I'm not sure I would have done the same thing if I was Minister of Finance.
$1.5 million for the upgrading of the Beaufort Square. So two community centers only were separately fee. You may say 400 million dollars pour manger two 400 million dollars. 400 million. Mais you may say flipper trois fois ça. $1,600,000 pour manger square vieux forat. So moi t'amadé, les sépliciens, les tout le monde qui a souffert parce que community center n'est pas bon. Beaufort Square, bon. Serenity Park cost just over $1 million. Just over $1 million. I remember. Today, that's where you'll have everything you'll do, even if you're doing right now.
Order. Honorable members.
Good one. Yeah, I like that one. You'll now have you for to go. Castries is the capital of St. Lucia. And I'm sure all of you will agree, Mr. Speaker, if you just permit me that slight digression, that Serenity Park is symbolic in this country. And tourists that go there, sometimes they have a burning desire to return because of Serenity Park. It has had its impact on the tourism arrivals. So, Mr. Speaker, everything they do in there. You know? So, Mr. Speaker, I was just wondering why only $427,000, whereas there is so much money for Beaufort Square. Mr. Speaker, under the public service, there is an allocation of $1.498 million for headers, Mr. Speaker, $1.498 million for the refurbishment of office space. Refurbishment of, how do you call it? Reorganization of office. Now, Mr. Speaker, I mean, if things are rough, Mr. Speaker, is that the way we go? Do we change all the furniture in the Prime Minister's office at a cost of $300,000? Do we do that? Do we spend $1.8 million on refurbishment? I have big flat screen. I have a flat screen. That is incorrect. I never had a flat screen in my office. I never had a flat screen. The TV in my office was no more than about 30 inches. So, Mr. Speaker, we must understand the environment. Let us not make a mockery out of this. Let us not make a mockery out of this, Mr. Speaker. Let us understand that if we are to tighten our belts, the austerity measures must first come from within government, not from without. The austerity measures have to come from within government. And by the way, member for Beaufort South, I have no difficulty with your square. None at all. I just felt to use the term by for member from Castries South, there needs to be what? equity. Mr. Speaker, I see nothing in the estimates, nothing in the estimates for Castry Central. There is not, correct me if I'm wrong, there are a lot of happening in Castry Central, Mr. Speaker, because of your humble servant. And I was saddened by the fact, Mr. Speaker, that the market, which we spent a lot of time and money on, got an award of being the world's third best market. And nobody took time off to appreciate the work of the minister and the former councillors at the Castry City Council. You know, Mr. Speaker, yes, the place is in a mess. Like I said, Mr. Speaker, I see absolutely nothing in the estimate for Castry Central. Nothing at all.
Nice,
sir. I see nothing in the estimates for Castry Central. And I'm hearing step and night. You know, hope step and night. I hope you have a nice step.
Yeah.
Hope step and night. I hope you have a nice step. You know, nothing in the estimates for Castry Central, irrespective, Mr. Speaker, of us having a program of activities that will ask the Castry City Council hoping or awaiting implementation. One of them I can disclose was the transformation of the William Peter Boulevard into a promenade. I see nothing in the estimates on any of that, Mr. Speaker. And so the development of Castries, whilst I have spearheaded it with the Castry City Council, I am not the sole user of the facilities that were created in Castry Central. I am not the sole user of Serenity Park. I am not the sole user of the basketball court in the gardens. I am not the sole user of Darling Road Plaza and Jeremy Street Plaza. The huts that were built on Jeremy Street and other places, I am not the user. So, Mr. Speaker, when we engage in this blatant discrimination of refusing to allocate resources to opposition parliamentarians or to opposition constituencies, Mr. Speaker, Castry South, the member for Castry South just said that he got $200,000. Precisely, you were on the other side. But today, Mr. Speaker, the shoe is on the other foot. Mr. Speaker, let me just say this. In conclusion, I will say this. The reality has now hit this government in the pieces. It was jobs, jobs, jobs. It was better days are coming. It was $100 million in 100 days. Today, Bagai Movie. Today is Greece. Today, Mawe Wenzok Setlicien. Today, Antwa Vayasam. Reality has hit them in the faces. There's an old saying, Mr. Speaker, and I'll end on this note. The pessimist, he complains about the wind. The optimist, he says, the wind will change. The realist, a justice seal to suit the wind. I thank you, Mr. Speaker.